You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor, Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everyone to another episode of Lean Local. This is the show where we do what we say, and we just really lean into what's going on locally here. Again, that's not to say we're not concerned about what's going on in other parts of our country, other parts of the world. But today, we talk about what's going on here locally in Greater Green Bay. And this is going to be interesting, this first segment. As you know, we had a school board race April 1st. And those are competitive races. You spend a lot of money because it's more than just the city of Green Bay. It's other municipalities that utilize the Green Bay School District. And the race, I'll just give you the numbers, was 17,000 for the top vote getter, 17,500, second one, 17,400, third one, 15,900. And the fourth one was 15,600. So 333 votes separated the third place vote getter from the fourth place. All right. So the third place vote getter, as you may have been following, wasn't totally honest about his residency. And they're like, where'd you live? And, well, kind of put this address down, but not so sure I lived. I think I lived in Hobart. Anyway, so he resigned. So that seat is now open. And I think there's some people are like, well, I mean, the voter spoke, right? I mean, within 300 votes, let's just move this Katie Garrity up to be on the school board. And they're like, well, let's start the process over and interview. So we're going to talk about that today. What do you think is the right thing to do? But we have with us the expert, or the candidate, I should say, right? You came in fourth place. How was your campaign?
My campaign, it was a lot of work. It was a fun ride. It was an emotional roller coaster, but it was really, really worth it. Ultimately, the people spoke, and I came in fourth place in both the primary and the general election. And, you know, That was okay. I believe in the people. I believe in what they have to say. And that's how they voted. But now we do have an open seat on the school board. And I have to go through an appointment process in order to get that spot. But it would be fantastic if we could listen to the people and say, hey, you know, maybe we should shift this person in since we got over 15,000 votes for her.
So Katie Dentress, who we're talking to, and she was the fourth place vote getter in the school board election. Like I said, the third place one resigned. Have you brought that up to someone saying, hey, look, I'm within 300 votes. The people have spoken. Why go through this interview process?
I haven't. So it's slightly more complicated. So the third vote getter, they are completely eligible. They should be there. But the person who resigned, they were elected in the previous election. And the person who actually came in number three lost a seat against them. And they had to run again this time around in order to get their seat. And so that person had to put in a ton of work mm-hmm. and effort that really they should have never have had to do. But I understand, you know, maybe things get lost in the paperwork. Maybe just something wasn't really figured out earlier. If it had been figured out prior to the 2024 election, then Alex Minow wouldn't have had to have ran again. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if it had been uncovered at any point before this past election that we just had, then there would have been four open seats.
I see.
So, yeah, it's a little bit of a mess. And it would have been really nice if this information could have came out at any point before a month after the election.
Do you think the school board members, do you think people knew before? Like, you know, there's rumors all the time in government, but this has happened in county government too. I don't know if you're aware of that, but I mean, you're a little upset about this thing. You gotta tell me why.
So it There had been some words passed. There had been some people who knew that he wasn't there. I can't speak on it all publicly, but it had been, some people were made aware, and there was no action taken in regards to it until the Press Gazette came out with their expose. And it does feel unfortunate that it took a newspaper to come out with it when the word was around town for a very long time.
And I don't think it was a big investigative report. Did they knock on the guy's door and he's like, he doesn't live here? I mean, that's not like, you know, follow the money, all this undercover stuff. That was just a very obvious.
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
violation.
People, yeah, the Press Gazette knocked on his door, knocked on other addresses. They did an excellent job.
Well, what I'm saying is that probably took him a couple hours. That wasn't like a huge investigation. That's what I'm saying. I think it was pretty obvious, and somebody should have acted on that sooner than later. What do you want to happen? I mean, that's why I wanted to bring you in here. What do you want to happen? I mean, you think that there's a vacant seat and that you should move up, right?
I believe that would be fair and just, but I understand that there are steps to this. I understand that there's a process here, and I'm willing to go through the process. But it certainly feels like I put myself and my team, we put in a lot of time and effort for something that should have been available to us during election time.
Okay, so people who are listening that know you, that obviously some of them who voted 15,000 that voted for you, can they help? I mean, tell me, can they write letters? Can they call people? Who's on the committee? Who's going to, if you're going to stick with the committee route where they appoint you, which it sounds like that's your only choice right now, right? Or is there something else you can do?
Yeah, absolutely. They can write letters of recommendation to the board. In the meantime, you know, there's social media helps. It really is. Mm-hmm. That is gold these days. You know, get on social media and feel free to speak about the reasons why you voted for me. And remember that I do appreciate each and every one of your votes. I mean, 15,000 people.
It's more than I got.
I am just a mom. I am just a loving, caring mom who's lived in Green Bay my entire life. And to have 15,000 people say, hey, I support you and I am voting for you. I mean, it is just so humbling and it's amazing. And I would absolutely appreciate any letters of recommendation to the board.
And I would think that your argument or position when you interview is going to be what you just said. It's really not so much your philosophy, because there's different philosophies. People interview, they're like, oh, I don't think I like that. You know what I mean? Like your reasoning for being appointed is, I got 15,000 votes.
Yeah.
And it's not like, well, I support this, or I wouldn't get into the issues, right? What's your plan when you interview there? What are you going to tell them?
Yeah, well, I was number four twice. There should have been four open seats. I would have gotten in. I'm not running because I want power or control. I just care about the kids. I just care about what goes on inside of the schools. I care about making sure that our money is being spent responsibly. Mm-hmm. It's really that simple. People have been not always the kindest to me on the internet since I started doing this, but really it's very, very simple. I'm there because I care.
Okay, that internet thing, it's kind of welcome to my world. That wasn't my first, but when I was first in office, that wasn't a thing, but now it's a big, big thing. But, I mean, don't read it. I mean, you can read it if you want, but don't let your husband read it. It bothered the spouse more than it bothered me when I read that. But, yeah, people are people, right? I mean, obviously 15,000 people like you, and that's what you got to look at, people that support you. What is the timing on this? I mean, it's Sunday. What the time? Do you know when this is next week? Do they start interviewing?
We haven't been given a formal.
I see.
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. We're telling people that, you know, you got a lot of votes, more than anybody else. That's not that wasn't elected, and you still want the job. You're not bitter. You are just like, you maybe you're a little concerned that they didn't look into this residency thing earlier.
Yep.
And is that going to be looked into?
I don't know where it goes from here. It really opened up a big old can of worms.
Well, in the paper, it's like, it's just all this finger pointing. Well, it's not my job. It's not my job. It's not my job. Like, whose job is it to confirm residency?
Yeah.
Candidate, you know? I know they talked, maybe the clerk should have done something, but I just think if there's a pretty credible tip out there, somebody should have gone and knocked on the guy's door.
Absolutely. And you think, you know, when you go get a driver's license or really any sort of professional documentation, you have to bring your ID and you need to bring like a piece of mail. Why aren't we doing that with our candidates?
Yeah. Wow. Really, it was that simple because that address was not on his driver's license.
It couldn't have been.
He didn't live there. All right. Well, hey, I don't know what I can do, but I sure hope you get appointed for the reasons you said. And I don't even know what your position is on the school board. But I just think, in fairness, you had a whole lot of people that, and it's hard to get people to vote.
It is.
I mean, it is. I tell you, not even half the eligible voters vote in Green Bay.
Yeah.
So the fact that you got them off the couch and they went in there and pulled the lever with your name, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, especially for a spring election. Nobody gets super excited about those.
Tell me about it. You know, I just think it's great that you had that kind of momentum. What were you hearing on the campaign? Just tell me that before we wrap up here.
What was I hearing? As in?
Just what were you hearing at the doors? Like, what were people saying? They want to see, I'm sure they're upset about the superintendent turnover that we've had. Mm-hmm. That's got to be a big issue. But I just wondering what people said to you at the door, why they voted for you.
Well, the biggest thing that I've heard from people is that they're not sending their kids to Green Bay Area Public Schools. They're going to different districts. And my biggest concern is why. And I think that as a board, we should be addressing those issues and we should tackling them. We want children in our district. We want Green Bay to have an excellent place where parents want to send their kids. And I don't think that the board is doing enough to address the concerns of the citizens and seeing why they're opting for Ashwaubenon and Howard and other area school districts,
right,
instead of ours. That's really the primary thing that I heard.
All right. Well, good luck with that. You know, I know you feel like maybe it should have been an automatic boom, you're on there, but I guess the process is the process. But I think you got a lot going for you. So good luck and keep us posted on that. And after you get on the school board, we'll have you back, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right,
so
thank you for coming on in here. This is, of course, Katie Gentry, who candidate for the Green Bay School District. There's an open seat right now. She got the most votes in the last race, and she's hoping that she gets appointed by the selection committee. All right, we're going to be right back. This is Lean Local, Jim Schmidt.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All right, welcome back to Lean Local. It's Jim Schmidt, your host. I just want to again thank Katie Gentry for coming in and garnered over 15,000 votes each, and she thinks that should weigh heavily when she goes and interviews for her to have the position filled. So anyway, that was nice of her to stop in, and I wanted to hear it from her. All right, I'd like to thank Pella Windows and Doors here in Green Bay for sponsoring the show Lean Local. You know, I'm a big customer of Pella. They've done all the windows in my house and the doors, and I want to tell you that that company is a great company to work with because they'll come over to your house, this is at no charge, and they'll give you an assessment of what kind of windows, and they have such a plethora of windows and doors. What looks best in your home? My home happens to be a little older than most homes. They just have the right product for the right home, and they have the right financing too. I just enjoy them. I always refer them, friends of mine, to go to Pella because of not only their customer service, but their quality product and their pricing program. So, you know, you want to keep the air conditioning in, you want to keep the heat in, you have to have good doors and windows, and Pella's the place to go. Plus, they got great style. So again, Pella.com, 920-435-3791. Give them a call. So now we're going to shift gears a little bit here. We're going to go talk to, I'm going to talk to you about a couple things, but Representative Ahmad Rivera Wagner, who you all know, he was elected to the Assembly, District 90, which is my district, right, here in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. And you're making waves for the new guy.
I'm trying to do a good job. I think it is important.
But prior to that, you were the assistant to the mayor.
Chief of Staff.
Chief of Staff. Oh, yes. Yeah. That's okay. Well, I want to talk about both those things, but I think we'll start with what you're working on right now. I mean, you've been in Madison, and like I said, I think you're pretty visible, and I give you credit for that, because there are some people that, you know, you don't really see until campaign time.
Well, here's what I love the city, and I know people often think that it's a cheesy framework, but when you love the city, you want to both fight for it, you want to be invested in it, and you like hanging out in here. Mm-hmm. So I really love being in Green Bay and having a good time doing that. Some of the big things I'm working on right now, unfortunately, we have a lot of instability at the federal level. And so what we're seeing is a bunch of cuts to really important programs here in Green Bay, whether it's AmeriCorps or Head Start. We're even seeing some cuts that might impact special education teachers, really making sure that there are some bills that I've authored and advocating for that can at least help curb those impacts in the city. You know, Green Bay is a community that takes care of each other. We love our schools. We love our AmeriCorps programs. We love some of these federal funded initiatives around housing and homelessness. And it's just really hard to deal with these cuts that seem to be somewhat reckless. So I'm really excited about trying to stand up for that and have introduced two bills to address that.
But with all that said, you're in the minority.
100%. That is correct.
Tough in Madison to be in the minority. You know that? I mean, the Republicans were in, right. Look, I've had friends on both sides, right, and they'd be like, I'm like, how's it going? It's awful. We're in a minority. You know what I mean? Like,
Here's what, and again, you know this, I'm oddly hopeful. There's been some elements of bipartisanship really emerging, really around these local issues. And I think the budget process we can talk about later, even some initiatives. I mean, we just passed some bipartisan support around protecting election workers from violence and threats. There's been some bipartisan support for child advocacy and child advocacy funding for those that are harmed by child endangerment. There really is, even in this, you know, somewhat national dark time, there are these glimmers of hope that there, if you focus on the local issues, things that are actually in people's districts, that what you can find is that there is lots of bipartisan support. Not lots, but there's enough where there is room. Right. And look, another quick example is we got bipartisan support for some initial funding for the NFL draft. And then there looks like there's going to be bipartisan support for public safety cost post the NFL draft. Again, if you would have asked some people 5 years ago, 3 years ago, 18 months ago, could we even do that? Yeah. They would have told you that bipartisanship is so broken that we can't. So to me, it's about doing the work, being very clear, and making sure that I'm lining up issues that are in my district with issues in other people's districts who might be Republican, and saying, can we work on this together? Mm-hmm. So to me, it's about a focus. I don't change my politics, but my focus is making sure that Green Bay is improved. And if there's an issue that's here happening in another district, I can work with them to do that. And I'm very proud that I've been able to do that so far.
There's two issues that we're going to talk about that need state funding. Mm-hmm. And we'll get to that. Just, you brought it up. I just want A, B, C, D, F, the NFL draft. How would you rate that?
I would give it between a B plus and A minus. I think, you probably know this. As the mayor's chief of staff, I was part of the early negotiations to try to work with this. You know, not that this is any news to anyone. Working with the NFL is not necessarily easy. Mm-hmm. They are an institution that wants to have proprietary access for them and the audience that they want. We did some really great work by going to Kansas City and going to Detroit. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we learned from their communities was that you have to force the conversation to make sure that it benefits outside of the walls of the actual campus. Yeah. And so we fought really hard, and I was very proud of that, to come up with the bookends of the concerts and activities downtown. Yeah. And I know that it wasn't spread 100%, and I understand that. No. But if we would not been able to add those elements, it would have been even a lot less. And so it is a lesson about big events coming here and having to really make sure that we do it the Green Bay way. But I do think it showcased some of the best elements of our city and why someone place like Green Bay can punch above its weight with the NFL team and be the number one place to live. We can do these things. I still think that no matter when we have big events, we have to make sure that we tie in improving and making sure that our local and small businesses get a benefit from that.
Oh, yeah. I thought a tremendous amount of work went into that.
Yeah.
Like, me too much. But anyway, it was over a year of,
oh, yes,
we're on the clock. Like, okay, what about this? What about that? No, it's the NFL. And I'm just not sure the businesses outside the fence felt the impact they thought they were going to. I mean, that's fair.
I think that's a fair criticism.
The other thing I would advise to Pittsburgh, and my friend runs the economic development over there, I wish when they were on, I didn't watch it on TV. I went to the event, but a friend of mine watched it on TV, and I was asking her, what'd you get out of that? She goes, oh yeah, I just watched it, from start to finish, and from Atlanta. I'm like, what'd you get out of that? She goes, you know what I got out of that? The Packer fans love the Packers.
Yeah,
that's not breaking news. And the Packer organization loves the fans.
Yes.
Okay. But why didn't we have Dr. Hunsinger from the medical college introduce someone who's going to introduce that? Why didn't we have someone from just the water, the fishing, the recreation, somebody, that guy we had on from the DNR, right? Yep. I mean, this guy's like Mr. DNR for all the water in Wisconsin. And just not to introduce a draft choice. I get but introduce the guy who's going to. And I just thought we could have gotten just a little bit more exposure on how great this community is. The Fortune 500 company is the. And I just thought we missed a little bit because 14 million people
watched
it.
So I just wish somebody,
I don't know who's in charge of that. If that's the NFL, it's the NFL.
So ultimately, whether we like it or not, the NFL had a lot of power and control over the event.
Yeah.
And so what we did do, and we did see that Schneider did a great taste event.
Yeah.
The AmeriCorps program did an Earth Day draft edition. We had to showcase our city around the requirements of the NFL.
Right.
And so we did do that. I agree with you. I would have loved to have more control over the event to really give it a deeper Green Bay flavor.
For the TV things, I think the 14 million people, I think we did a survey one time, Ahmad, I don't know, it was 15 years ago, about, tell us about Green Bay. Do you know that people didn't know we were on the water?
Really?
They didn't know. People, this was the United States survey, maybe they're from Arkansas. But anyway, they didn't know we were on the water. And I'm like, oh my God. Anyway, I just think.
That's a good feedback.
Yeah, it's a good city. It's a great city. And I just think we got to talk about it a little bit more. Hey, we're going to come back. I'm going to talk about the state budget, $4 billion surplus. I want to know why we're fighting so hard.
Yeah.
Okay. And the other thing, there's some local issues that you have, the state has a big role in. I want to talk about that and see what your plans are to move those things forward. All right. Ahmad, thank you for being in here. We're going to be right back with Representative Ahmad Rivera Wagner, District 90. You're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right. Welcome back, everybody, to Lean Local. I'm your host, Jim Schmidt, and we're here with Representative Ahmad Rivera Wagner, who was recently elected to the 90th District, representing really the city of Green Bay. We're talking some things about the state budget. We kind of ended talking about the NFL, and I don't want to be negative at all because I think it was great. I'm glad we did it, and I think it paid pretty good dividends. I do want to say that selfishly, I work at the new community shelter, at the homeless shelter, and the NFL came, they called us a couple months ago, and they're looking for a place to partner with to serve a meal, and they looked around town, they said, we like you guys the best, so they called us back, and they came, and they made 300 pizzas, and Aaron Jones helped serve, Haha Dix, and a couple other people, and then when they concluded, they gave us a check for $50,000, so you know what, that's a great organization. It's just, I'm thinking, could we have gotten a little bit more, not financially, but exposure to the 14 million people? And you did what you could, and I thought it was a great event. So
here's what I will always say this. Anytime we have a big, large-scale event, we always have to make sure that Green Bay is incorporated in all the best ways. Our nonprofits, our small businesses, showcasing our geography. And I think we can always do better. And this was a really great test case of one of the largest NFL events in the city of Green Bay. And I liked what we did, but I think there's always room for improvement.
Yeah. Last thing.
Yeah.
And then we'll move on. I got stuff I want to talk to you about. But so we pulled off the NFL draft.
Yes.
600,000 people total, 200,000 people a night. So that makes me think maybe we can pull off football games, 80,000 people every Sunday. So what I would think would be next out of this, given us we have the confidence now that we can do anything, is to take maybe that Lambeau Field and bring in the Stones or Bruce Springsteen or somebody and do some concerts like two or three a year instead of one every 4 years. So that's that. I'm done.
100%. Okay. I agree with you.
Okay. If we need state funding, you're going to step up.
100%.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. So Ahmad, the state budget is in process right now, and hopefully it's going to be approved at the end of July. Maybe August?
We'll see. Isn't it usually? Typically, it is in place for September. There have been some interesting dynamics where some of my Republican colleagues have said that perhaps we don't pass a budget this year. What's good about the state is it's unlike the federal government. If we do not pass a budget this year, we just go back to the last biennium. So there is no government shutdowns for the state. That's a positive. But there has been a contested conversation about what we're going to do when the budget will get passed. But typically, you are correct that by July, at latest by September, there is usually a new budget in place.
Okay. There's a couple things here in Green Bay that need the state, that are working with the state. The state 100%. Is probably, I don't know, I'd say one third in the project, you know?
Easy.
And one of them would be the coal piles. And I know that you've got kind of an inside track on that, being the mayor's chief of staff. Anyone who's worked in the city the last 75 years knows about the coal piles because that's been a big, big deal. I mean, yeah. Paul worked hard on that. Sam did. I did. And it really became an issue of funding. And now the state stepped up.
Right.
Finally. And we were on bended knee to you guys. You never gave us a nickel when I was mayor. And then we, Herb Cole, though, was also pretty instrumental in getting those things moved. Right. And tried some things at the federal level when they were doing that shovel-ready projects thing. I don't know if you remember that. You're pretty young. But okay, so
not that young.
Okay. Well, we did that. That was one of Obama's things.
Yeah, exactly right.
So we went out and we pitched the coal piles for that. Mm-hmm. We went out to D.C., made a presentation. Yeah. And, it got on CNN, which was cool. But other than that, we didn't get the money. So this has been going on for a long time. And again, I'm an outsider now. But it appears to me that it's the stars have finally lined up.
100%.
Well, so what's the deal?
So I'll give you a very quick kind of recap of like where many of these things started. I was lucky enough to obviously work as the mayor's chief of staff, and I was charged with bringing together C. Rice, which is the coal company that owns the piles and the property that they're on, the county, and the city of Green Bay. We came together for a grant with the federal government, which resulted in that collaboration resulted in an MOU that we were working together. We then applied for this grant together. And in fact, it was such a good application at the time that we actually had a visit from the highest ranking White House official at the time, the economic director, Tom Perez, who came down to Green Bay to tour these things. So, you know, things were really lining up. Mm-hmm. We already had some federal dollars potentially coming in already. We had ARPA dollars. And then we ultimately didn't get the grant. We came very close. Appleton ended up getting that grant, which unfortunately has actually been cut by DOGE. So that project is actually not moving forward. And we had promised that when that grant, if we didn't get it, that we would still be able to leverage all the other fundings that we had in place. We then worked together over the summer and the fall. I was still the mayor's chief of staff, really proud of that. And we brought that proposal that was negotiated between C. Rice, the county, and the city, where our common council, as you know, not always unanimous, was unanimously in support of this proposal. And then we had 15 to 20 people go to the meeting, testify in favor, not a single voice in opposition to the proposal. And to the surprise of the city, to I assume the county, to the residents, there was a downvote of the proposal that was negotiated in good faith with all of the parties included. That was a surprise move to all of us. And since then, I then took on my position as the state rep for the district, still heavily involved with the negotiations. We have seen a roller coaster ride of what that's happened. Part of it is that many of the conversations at the county are happening behind closed doors. We're unaware and often learning about new ideas via press release. That's news to the people involved, sometimes the other county board members, to the city itself. And so it's been a surprise to all of us that with all these stars aligned, with agreement, with everyone in place, with federal and state funding all tied to this, ready to move. We have a company, a city, a county, all that would benefit from this, over $150 million potentially of economic impact, mm-hmm. while also keeping a local company in the community.
Well, that's that. that begs the question, why isn't it being done then? Because if you say the county, the city, and C. Rice are all on the same page, why isn't this thing signed? Why haven't you inked this deal?
It seems like, from my perspective, that the county board is not lined up with the county leadership. Mm. And so we are now dealing with the gap between the county board and the county leadership, and that we are all subjected to figuring out what that bridge looks like, if there is even is a bridge there. Mm-hmm. So it's been really difficult. It's been really disheartening to see that there's actual funding, alignment, and just to be, I know you know this, in the city of Green Bay, we have not heard of a single person in opposition to us moving the coal piles. And that goes back different mayoral administrations, people, different generations, from young people to people who are younger at heart. We have seen nothing but alignment. As I said earlier, our common council, folks who've supported Bernie Sanders to Donald Trump, all are in alignment with this deal, working with this company. Mm-hmm. And right now, we're all just waiting on pins and needles to figure out if the county board is going to accept any deal, or even come to the table to negotiate. And so that's still something we're trying to figure out and learn about. But to you, we're learning at this in real time together what they think, because we're often learning by press release.
But the state funding is critical to this, and you're still going to hold that, the $15
million? Well, you know, this is not new news. If there is no agreement, that money goes away.
That's not news. I know that.
That's not news. I can't keep money if there's no agreement.
Okay. All right. That is a once in a lifetime opportunity. 100%. Because you can talk to Romy Dennison, who I was telling someone was elected the year I was born. He worked on the coal piles. So this has been going on for almost 100 years.
It is. There's very few things that both make my heart sing, but also my blood boil. We have an opportunity to work across political ideology, generations, a win for everybody.
Yeah.
I hate when people insert petty politics into opportunities that can really serve everyone's best interests. Mm-hmm. And our egos have to be stripped from this. Yeah. This is about moving the coal piles. And I don't know how to fix that. I'm hoping that reason will prevail, that we don't lose out on millions and millions and millions of dollars that may never, ever come back again. Mm-hmm. But we're on the precipice of losing another $15 million or millions of dollars associated with this project if we do not come to an agreement.
Okay, let's talk about something more positive.
Yes, please.
And I know you're into this. You're pretty high on the social side of things. Homelessness.
Yes.
It's been a struggle.
Yes.
And it continues to be a struggle here in Green Bay, although I do want to say that I do believe New Community Shelter, and you know, in full disclosure, I work there part-time, has a solution to end homelessness. And but things cost money. So what we have right now is we have an emergency shelter. People come in, then they can go to the second floor and get a small room, still community bathroom, and save money. Some people got $6,000-$7,000 living on that floor, which is unbelievable. Yeah, right. But you need that to get out in the real world.
Right, right.
I mean, you really do. It sounds like, what do you need all that money for? But there are some people that still are going to need some help down the road. They get out there and they try and try and try, and for whatever reason, they slip back. So we're building permanent supportive housing, not a new concept, obviously new in the state of Wisconsin, and where they're going to live in these one-bedroom apartments across the street and still have a case manager see them, not every week, an intense week like they have when they're living in our building, but they're still going to have someone checking up on them.
Yeah.
And they're going to need that,
right.
And they can live there as long as they want. Now, I don't think they're going to live there the rest of their lives, because eventually you're going to want a pet. You can't have pets.
Yeah.
They're going to get a spouse. Right. They're not going to have that. So there's reasons to move on. But it's just that a little bit more time so we can free up our place and get some more people through our system. All right. Mm-hmm. So we've been out raising money since October. Well, you came to that first meeting from the private sector. And we've been quite successful. And I do want to say the city of Green Bay, even last week, it gave a pledge for $500,000. And the county is being great about this. I do want to say that we're talking to, not the county board, I want to say that we're talking to the administrative office, but they're like, look, we need to do this, and a few of the county board members. In the state budget that you're going to vote on, we put a request in there, and it spells out right in there, up to $4 million for the new community shelter to build permanent supportive housing in Brown County. Mm-hmm. So I need you to, I don't care, well, I do care what else you do, but just make damn sure that that one stays in there.
Yeah, and you know this, right? That homelessness and housing is dear to my heart.
Right,
and
I know.
And we've talked about this because, you know, as someone who's experienced homelessness and what it feels like to feel excluded or left behind, even though we're working, it really does matter that we have as many solutions as possible to solving this crisis here and abroad. So I'm outside of Green Bay. I'm very excited for you, and I'm excited that it's in the budget and there is bipartisan support for that. My hope is to actually make sure that there is even more than just that line item for homelessness. We need to have the continuum of care
right.
for people, however they start to wherever they need to finish. We need to build more housing. We need to make sure that people are being met with compassion and understanding, but also making sure that we're getting people the mental health services they need, the drug addiction services or substance abuse services right. they need. So I'm looking forward to not only getting you the support you need, and I'm really excited about that bipartisan support, but making sure that we don't leave behind those folks who are really at the extremes and are struggling. And we do see some of those folks. We see some of those folks in our different parks in our community, including right. The park that you and I live next to.
Right.
And we need to do something to make sure that we are militantly and compassionately addressing the drug addiction, mental health issues, and building more housing while also giving people a pathway out of homelessness.
And when people say to me, because I've asked people for money, obviously, and they're like, wow, that $15 million, you know, that's a lot. And it isn't. It sounds like it is a lot of money, right? $15 million, I don't have that. But you look at what some of these other states have done, and it's gotten worse.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a solution that's going to work. And we have to invest in it. And we're not going to get it done without that state money. I can't tell you how critical that is.
Yeah.
So, and I do like calling you guys because I've got no pushback. And I've talked to Republicans,
yeah.
pretty strong Republicans, and to Democrats, and they've all been positive. So I just ask you to stay with the issue, but
absolutely.
You got something that can really start the solution, and that's in the budget. So I'm going to look good for you to support that.
Thank you. And one of the things you are doing really well that I want to make sure that everyone hears is that permanent supportive housing is a tool that helps people get out of homelessness and get on their feet.
It does.
And that's something we need to do. We often have to address barriers to access to that, but generally permanent supportive housing is the way to help homeless folks get on their feet.
All right. All right. You're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. Special guest, Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, our in-house special guest representative, Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner. And I've got a few more questions for you, Representative, if you just stick around. But first, I want to thank one of our sponsors. You can't do these shows without a sponsor, without some money. And Nicolet Bank stepped up right when we introduced the show to them. And they totally fit me and this show. They're community-minded. They take great care of their employees. I remember when they started, when Bob and Mike started that thing in 2002, and now they've got 57 branches. And they're very generous to the community. I mean, they're involved in the city deck, and I'm sure in the mayor's office you ran into them on occasion.
We do.
Yeah.
They've been great community partners.
Aren't they?
Yes.
And a good example how, look, you got to take care of your business, and I get that. That's the number one thing. And you know, it's not like a capitalist, but you got to make money. Yeah. But once you do and things are going, you've got to look back at the community, you know. I told you I teach at NWTC and I bring my students to the new community shelter. Some of these kids are going to do very, very well. Some kids you can kind of tell by, you know, talking to them and reading their papers. It's like, you're going to do fine. But I bring them there not to say, if you don't do a good job, you're going to end up here. It's to say, look, you're going to do a good job, and you need to give some money back to this. I mean, right. That is part of your responsibility right. of a right. successful business, mm-hmm. a successful whatever. You need to give back. And no one does that better than Nicolet. They're just terrific. And not just here in Green Bay. I mean, everywhere they have a branch, they're very generous. But I just want to thank them for all they're doing for Green Bay. So with that, I want to move to you for a few more minutes. You came here from what, Massachusetts?
I did, from Western Massachusetts.
Okay.
Yeah.
And came in here and you got the job with the chief of staff. And you weren't there all that long, a couple of years?
4.5 years.
Okay. And then ran for the assembly.
Correct. That's
and
right.
You won big.
What I love about this community is when you run towards the community and work with the community, yeah. they take care of you. And you, as someone who I think has been very community-minded, it's not hard to reach out and engage right. people, and they trust people who trust them. Mm-hmm. And I think that was really exciting, especially with the new maps that right. made this district different. It has actually added more Republicans, but it still did well, and I'm really proud of that.
I'm working with a media company, and one of their concerns is not enough people run for office.
100%.
And that there's not enough interest in who's running.
Yes.
So we talked about, would people watch a debate on TV? And we're kind of going, and I said, I don't know. I think they would, but yeah. that's because I would. But tell me how we can get more people to put their name on the ballot. Because you look at the incumbency on in some organizations, it's tremendous. They don't have opponents for 10, 12 years.
So, you know, this is what I heard even when running and also being a chief of staff, and I bet you heard this too, that sometimes people feel like politics is where good ideas go to die, that you can get things done in the nonprofit community, you can get things done in the business community, but that when you get involved in politics, all that people want to do is fight and have a tug of war. And I do think what I'm trying to do, part of being visible and trying to make it seem easier to get involved, is that when people see the power that they have when you're at the table, us being able to talk about supportive housing is because we have a great, you know, former mayor who's doing that work, but we have a state rep who's also very interested in making sure that issue gets put up. When we talk about the coal piles and getting money aligned, that took elected representatives reaching out and engaging across different sectors. And when we talk about businesses being able to thrive during the NFL draft, these are, you know, intergovernmental collaborations in collaboration with the community. When we start showcasing that there is positivity that can come out of running for office, getting involved, and that you can be community-centered, I think that can make a big difference. Cutting out the extremism and letting people do the kind of crazy things that have happened in politics really does turn people off. And so my goal, and what I do think that happens, is when we can get people actually answering questions about their views. Let's be very clear. Even when people were having debates, we had candidates who refused to do questionnaires, talk to press. I mean, as recently as my race, where even my opponent didn't even want to do a single interview. I think the only interview she did might have been with you. Right. We need to make sure that we are asking candidates of any political stripe to make their case to voters, to be more responsive, and we need local media companies to be more militant about getting people's, why are they running? What do they represent? What's their background?
Okay, I get that. I want to back up, though. How do you get people to run? And you're kind of saying, like, people say, like, I'm not going into that hellhole. You know, right. people said that to me. I'm like, you got to run for office. Or I wouldn't. They didn't say I'm better than that, but that's kind of what they were saying. But I want to get people to run. I understand when they run what you're talking about. You can't hide. When you run, you got to run. But how are we going to get people that are, I don't care what the age is. You know, Kyle is in the 20s and 30-year-olds and bankers and, and people, it kind of hurts my feelings when they say, you know, I'm making more than that. Well, that's not why you're in government, to make money.
That
kind of makes me mad when they say that. Because, like, I gave up a little bit when I...
Same.
Right?
Almost 50%.
Yeah, mine was a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
But it's just, your heart's in it.
Yeah.
And how do we do that? How do we get more people to run? I'm really serious about this because that's coming up in 10 months.
One, I do think just making sure we demystify government. Part of the reason I think people don't run, aside from the kind of the chaos, is they don't know. Everyone knows what a county board supervisor does, a mayor does, an alder does, a state rep or state senator, the difference between federal and state government. So I think one is giving room and space for people to learn that you'd be surprised at what an alder can do to actually change right. your actual life, whether it's a pothole or a coal pile. You'd be surprised what state rep can do and to make a dent in preventing homelessness. I think people just don't always know what their government does really well and that who helps make those decisions. So I think one is educating the public. Two is I think we need to ask people. One of the things I've been doing, and I didn't know this was the first time this ever happened, I've been doing shadowing with anyone that's interested if they want to come with me for a day in Madison. They go to every meeting with me. They go to committee hearings with me. And we've now, I think we're on our third or fourth person. They're like, I didn't know this is what a state rep did, or this is how much happened in the day. Their argument was, I didn't think state reps did anything.
Yeah.
And so really showcasing the opportunity that there's a lot of things that happen.
And I think that's a good idea. I just want to say that I shadowed one of our congressmen, and I said, this is not what I want to do. I mean, it could be a discernment for you, too.
Right, right.
Whereas
exactly.
the mayor's right. office is like, ah, now this exactly. is more yeah. my style. But anyway, let's work on that together, too.
Yeah, I would love
that. Education. We can do that either yeah. through this show or we can do a newsletter or something. But yeah, let's work on that together and the $4 million.
Yeah, exactly. I think the $4 million is not going to be as hard as maybe the newsletter, but we'll figure
right.
it out.
All right. Thanks for coming in. I always enjoy talking to you, and keep up the good work.
You know, thank you.
I'm glad you're my assembly guy. And Representative Ahmad Rivera-Wagner, I'll be back next week with another episode of Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.